two of you. My hand comes up to block the picture, but she beats me with her tap on the phone. I'm too late as her thumbs furiously move across the screen. Young and in love. Short and sweet for Instagram, don't you think? She winks before striding off. I groan. I have no doubt she's posted the picture more than just there. I don't know what I should worry about, the picture or the fact that Andy was out with her last night.
Shall we?
Ted holds out his arm, clueless about my inner turmoil. I accept his arm, giving in to the night. Ted seems like an okay guy. Andy is obviously out of the picture. It's time I move on, take back my life, and enjoy it a little. We end up in box seats alone. The ballet is spectacular. After, we have a late dinner. Ted is cordial and our conversation easy. He doesn't leer at me or make suggestive comments. I begin to think Jeff's dislike of the man has nothing to do with Ted at all. Why don't you get along with Jeff? I ask. He sighs and uses the napkin to blot his mouth.
Truth?
He asks. I nod.
This will sound somewhat arrogant, but there is no way around it. Simply, Jeffrey was interested in a woman who was more interested in me.
Shocked, I feel my eyes reach my brows.
Don't look so surprised. Jeffrey is a bit on the sweet side, but he's into women.
He laughs at my open mouth. We end the night with Ted regaling me with tales of Jeff's escapades Ted's caught him in. None involve work, and I get that Ted is professional and wouldn't give me information about his employees that is work-related. When the limo stops in front of my building, I can honestly say I had a good time. Ted, again the gentleman, walks me to my door with my arm in his.
I had a lovely time, Kate. I hope you did too.
I did. He takes my hand and kisses my knuckles.
I would kiss you, Kate, but I don't want to scare you off, as I'm sure Jeff has done his best to do. And maybe some of what he told you is true, but I can make this an experience of a lifetime for you. And who knows what the future would bring. I'm headed to France for the holidays, after Christmas and through New Year's. Maybe you would consider joining me.
I'm too stunned to say anything. He leans down and presses a kiss to the corner of my mouth, just missing my lips. I watch him walk away and get back into the limo. When he drives off, I try to decide if I should be worried about what little Jeff has actually told me. He hasn't said much, but implied many things. I turn to head inside when I hear my name.
Kate.
I swivel around so fast I sway, catching myself. What I find is Andy closing his door and walking toward me. I didn't hear an engine cut off, so I wonder if he's been waiting for me all this time. He looks distressed, still in his scrubs. His hair is disheveled and his face sports scruff. He stops a few feet away from me as his eyes drift the length of my body and back again.
God, you take my breath away.
His words are smooth, but the sadness in his eyes takes away from his compliment.
You went out with Ted Kane. I saw the pictures.
Andy. The word leaves my mouth on the wind, drifting away as if we are two ships passing in the night.
Did he kiss you?
The anguish in his voice is palpable. I shake my head no, unable to speak for fear my voice would break. He comes forward and cups my frosty cheeks with his hands. His warm lips against mine take away the chill in the air. When he pulls back, I find myself reaching for him, but he steps out of my reach.
I want you to be happy, Kate. I always have. You're the one woman that's made me want to change my life to make you the center of my universe.
His eyes are filled with so much emotion, I'm captured in them.
Maybe fate is wrong, or my interpretation of it. I won't chase you anymore. I'll leave you to be the princess Ted can make you be.
He glances at my dress, which can partially be seen through the opening in my wool coat.
Maybe it's better this way.
My heart knocks in my chest. Being this close to him brings back all of the feels that had me fallen for him in the first place. I don't understand his words and why he's so upset with me. He's the one who moved on. Yet he's here. I watch, unable to move, unable to breathe, as he briskly walks away. He's gone so fast, he's almost reached his car, as I feel his name on the tip of my tongue. Chapter 14. Past. It's already November, and Thanksgiving is bearing down upon us, and then finals will be here. It's hard to believe I've been seeing Drew for almost 2 months. The difficulty in believing it is every time I'm with him, every weekend we spend together, and we haven't been apart much at all, is better than the last. As I'm thinking about him, my phone lights up, and it's him. The simple fact of seeing his name causes my heart to stutter. Right now, the 60 miles that separate us seems more like 1,000. Then I'm thankful he's not any farther than that. "Hey," I answer with a grin.
"Hey, back at ya. Question, are you going home for Thanksgiving?"
Drew asks. "Yeah, are you?"
"Uh-huh. I'm leaving Wednesday, but I have to be back Friday night because I work that weekend."
"Oh, that's not good." I can almost see him shrug.
"Nah, it doesn't bother me. It's the life of a resident. I have to pay my dues. Next year will be better."
"You have the best attitude," I say. "I'm leaving Tuesday and I'll be back on Sunday."
"Kate, I'd like to invite you over to meet my parents on Thanksgiving Day. Can you come? We could work it around your family schedule."
Holy crap, meet his parents. This is serious stuff. Am I supposed to reciprocate? Yeah, we could do that. I can ask my mom what time we're doing our dinner and all."
"That would be great. You all will love each other. I just know it."
The smile in his voice warms my skin. Drew, if they're anything like you, how can I not? And that is the truth. They raised this man to be who he is. Kind, honorable, trustworthy, and considerate of others. What's not to love? "And I'd like you to meet my family, too." Where the hell did this come from? I haven't even told my mom I'm dating anyone. Shit.
"I'd love that, but I'll meet them when I come to pick you up."
"Oh, right. I didn't think about that. My family is crazy. I'm just warning you."
"Crazy as in crazy, or crazy as in haha?"
Both. Ask Jenna. She can give you the scoop."
"I want you to give me the scoop,"
he says. I cringe as I say, "Yeah. Okay, well, my mom can be awesome, but she can be very cantankerous, too. And Dad, he's sort of a hypochondriac. So I'll apologize in advance because when he finds out you're a doctor, he's going to hit you up for all kinds of medical advice on his so-called diseases." Drew only laughs at my dad. "Hey, laugh now, but just wait. They'll drive you fuck nuts. I love them to death, but at the same time, they make me batshit crazy, you know?"
"Yeah, sounds like my Aunt Edna. God, that woman is as sweet as they make them, but loony as hell."
"Maybe we should invite Aunt Edna over. She sounds like she'd fit right in my family."
"What about your siblings?"
"My little sister doesn't pay them any attention. She's too selfish. And my brother gets doted on because he's the star athlete."
"What sport does he play?"
"All of them. But not hockey. No hockey in Charleston, you know." Drew chuckles.
"Yeah, true."
"I'm surprised my dad let any of us play sports. He's such a worrywart about us getting hurt."
"Overprotective."
"You wouldn't believe it if I told you. I had to beg for rollerblades. He told my mom to only let me skate on the grass. Of all things."
I've often wondered how I would be as a father."
This conversation is turning into something a little deeper than I expected. "Oh, yeah?
I think sometimes I'll be like your dad. When I see kids coming into the clinic all banged up, it makes me curious. What about you?"
"I haven't given it much thought, to be honest."
"Do you want kids, Kate?"
"Yeah, I guess so, someday."
"Good. I was hoping you'd say that."
"Why? Does he want kids right away? What's his deal here?"
I want to have kids someday, too, but not for a while.
Thank the Lord. Yeah, a long while, I laugh. Hence the birth control. Hint, hint.
Sounds like someone is pretty career-minded.
Hell yeah. I haven't worked my ass off in school not to use this double degree. I'm hoping to see it pay off here soon. He sighs heavily into the phone.
Oh, Kate, have some confidence in yourself. Of course it's gonna pay off. Take a look at yourself. You're a brilliant, talented, clever woman. You have a very bright future ahead of you. You are going to dazzle your prospective employers. Mark my words.
His words make me glow inside. Drew, you make me feel so good about myself.
You don't need me to do that. Seriously, Kate, you're the total package. If you would only see it for yourself.
That night, I tell Jenna about our conversation.
You're meeting his parents? At Thanksgiving?
Her sly grin tells me more than her words.
What? What does that mean? Drew McKnight isn't one to take girls home to meet his parents, that's what.
And how do you know that? Jenna gives me one of her looks and says,
I'm his best friend's sister, remember? I know a lot more about Drew than you think I do.
Oh, yeah, I say in a puny voice. Shit, this is a major deal, right?
Oh, I'd say it's a seriously major deal.
She grabs her phone and starts texting a message. A few minutes later, she receives a response. Jenna grins as she hands the phone to me. It's from Ben. Ben.
WTF, Drew is taking Kate to meet the Peas. How did I not know this? Major shit going down at the McKay's crib.
Oh no, will I be on display or something?
Or something? Hell yeah. And you know his mom, right? Big Charleston society and all the major circles and all that. I'm talking money, Kate, did I tell you?
I'm going to fucking kill her.
No, you did not tell me. How the hell could you leave something like that out? What the hell is wrong with you?
At least she has the courtesy to look chastised. Though knowing Jenna, she doesn't feel the least bit that way at all. Then she lets out a gurgle of laughter.
For all of Letty's money and the circle she runs in, she adores Drew and is the sweetest woman you'll ever meet. I promise you'll love her, and she'll love you because you're not one of those simpering bitches that always pants after her son.
Letty?
Mary Lettington Stanford McKnight.
You're joking. She's one of those Stanfords?
Yep,
Jenna says with a satisfied smile. Hence, Andrew Stanford McKnight.
Jeez, thanks for the warning.
I really do think the two of you will get along perfectly.
Well, did I tell you Drew started talking about having kids?
That shut her up for a minute. Then she suddenly looks like the cat that swallowed the canary.
I knew you two were perfect for each other. You need an older guy. That's why all the guys you were meeting weren't getting your panties wet. But one date with Drew and bam, you were so done. I think I hear wedding bells in your future.
Oh, Miss Fortune Teller, let me fill you in on a little secret. I think I hear wedding bells in your future, too.
Funny, Kate, but I'm serious. You have to admit it. He is perfect for you. What more could you ask for?
I have no answer for that, because she is absolutely right.
This is moving too fast, Jenna.
Okay, I can see why you might feel that way, but it's not fast at all. You've been seeing each other for about 2 months now, and Kate, Drew isn't some young dude that has no idea what he wants out of life. He's got his shit together and is going places, and so are you. But don't worry, you're not going to do anything until you graduate, so sit back and enjoy the...
She clears her throat in an exaggerated manner.
Ride.
Then she slaps her knee and howls with laughter.
Don't quit school. Your comedy routine needs work,
I say drolly.
2 weeks later, I find myself pacing in the foyer of my parents' home. Drew should be here to meet my family any minute. My 15-year-old sister skips down the stairs and says,
"Nervous about the new boyfriend? Caitlin's boyfriend's coming to visit."
She sings it loud in an obnoxious voice. My mom yells from the kitchen,
"Are you sure he doesn't want any leftovers?"
"I don't know, Mom. You can ask him yourself."
She's asked me this a dozen times already. Then my 13-year-old brother ambles in, looks at me, shrugs, and walks back out. His earbuds are in, so he couldn't give a crap about me or Drew.
Do you think Drew would have time to chat with me about my family history of colon cancer?
My dad wants to know.
No, Dad. He's not here to discuss your health matters, and he's not your doctor.
We've been through this at least 10 times today. This is going to be torture. Why did I agree to this? I should have just met him at his house. A motion outside catches my eye, and I look in the driveway to see him pull up. Should I open the door or wait for him to knock? I'll meet him on the porch to warn him. I run outside, straight into his arms.
Hey.
He catches me before I have a chance to blurt anything out and presses a light kiss to my lips.
Oh, I missed you,
I say instead.
I like that greeting.
He looks like sunshine on this gloomy day, and I've never been happier to see anyone before. I want to cling to him and never let him go, but I can't because I'm sure we have an audience. Listen, my family is insane. He laughs. No, I'm serious. I just came out to give you a quick warning.
I see. Well, let's go meet the insane Forbes family then.
He winks, and we enter the den of craziness. My family stands in the foyer like a troop of soldiers, ready for inspection. Mom, Dad, this is Drew McKnight. Drew, my parents, Bob and Lydia Forbes, and my brother and sister, Shannon and Eric. Greetings are exchanged, but my sister appears to be drooling over him. She stands there, mouth open, dreamy-eyed, not speaking a word. This is not her usual style. Shannon, you can go now, I tell her. She doesn't move. Shannon? Finally, I spin her around and push her in the direction of the kitchen. My mom asks Drew about 5 times if he wants any leftover Thanksgiving food. I want to scream, no, Mom, he doesn't. But I don't think it will do any good. And at last, the coup de grace is my dad asking Drew about his opinion on digital rectal exams and colon cancer screening. Really, Dad? And on that note, I think it's time Drew and I head on over to his place. Are you ready, Drew? I'm quite sure my face is the color of the cranberries my mom served at dinner, and my expression must look like a clown's. I need to get the hell out of here. I usher Drew out so fast it looks like we're on skates. I literally dive into his car, not giving him a chance to open the door for me. When he gets into the driver's seat, he's shaken with laughter.
That was some kind of exit you made.
Are you kidding me? I had to get out of there. I am so mortified by my dad.
He only laughs.
Don't worry about it. You wouldn't believe the questions I get asked by patients. That was nothing, and he has a concern due to family history.
I bury my face in my hands.
I don't care. I told him not to do that to you.
My voice is muffled.
Babe, it's fine.
He tugs the back of my hair, so I'm forced to face him. The corner of his mouth turns up, and his eyes dance with mirth.
I thought your mom was the funniest, trying to get me to eat. Do I look like I'm starving?
No.
I bust out laughing. But you put my sister in a boy coma. I've never seen her shut up like that before. I may have to borrow you on occasion.
Anytime.
He purrs. Then it hits me. I flash him a quirky grin and say, you called me babe.
I did. Is it against the rules?
No, it's just you've never called me that before.
It's not a term I've ever used in the past, but when I think of you, sweet honey comes to mind too.
Isn't that a bit repetitive?
No, because honey isn't sweet enough to describe you.
His gaze grabs mine and drills into me. It's intense and heated, and I grab his face and plant my lips on his.
Kate, I could sit in your driveway and make out with you all evening, but I'm afraid we'd have a captive audience and my mother would never forgive me.
Glancing up, I see 4 pairs of eyes peeking through the blinds. What the actual fuck? Oh, God, let's go. He's chuckling as he backs out of the driveway. On the way to his house, I ask him to fill me in on his parents. He doesn't give me near the information that Jenna did.
My dad is a doctor, too, but he didn't want me to go into medicine. He thinks it's a thankless profession for the most part. Too many hours spent away from the family. And in retrospect, I suppose he's right, because in his day, things were different than they are now. I won't say you don't work your ass off, but they have hospitalists who handle inpatient services, unlike in his day, so call is a lot better.
We pull into their driveway, and of course, their house is lovely. It's not extravagant, but it's beautiful. His parents greet us at the door. Jenna was right. Letty is very warm and gracious, and I'm instantly drawn to her. Drew's father, Ray, is quiet, taciturn. I get the feeling he's not impressed with me. Drew must get his outgoing personality from his mother. Letty steers us into the den, which is a warm and cozy room, lit with fire, and offers to get us drinks. Drew pulls me onto the love seat next to him, while his dad wanders off to get us each a glass of wine.
So, Drew has talked about nothing but you, Kate. He tells us you're at his alma mater right now and that you're a junior.
Yes, ma'am. I'm studying accounting and journalism.
You must be very busy, she says.
Understatement, I think. I am, and I'm looking forward to Christmas break.
About that time, Ray returns with our wine, and I thank him. Drew gets his looks from his father, because Ray is very handsome, but he gets his beautiful eyes from his mother.
So, Kate, do you expect to have a difficult exam period? Letty asks.
Ray sits and stares. It's a bit disconcerting, but Drew picks up my free hand and brings it to his lips. It surprises me how affectionate he is with me in front of his parents.
Kate will be very busy. She works her ass off, Mom.
I turn to Drew, pretty shocked that he said that in front of his parents.
Well, son, after she's finished, you'll need to spoil her then. She'll deserve a break.
I'm surprised to hear Ray say that. Oh, I don't know about that, I say. Letty leans toward me and says,
Kate, honey, let me give you a little piece of advice. When a man says they want to spoil you, don't you ever refuse it, you hear me?
And she winks. I laugh and say, yes, ma'am.
Mom, don't worry. I plan on spoiling this one a lot. And I mean a lot.
Then he kisses my cheek.
I can see that, Drew.
We chat for quite a while, and I have to say I feel very much at home here. Letty and I get along so well I hate to leave, and I've even warmed up to Ray. But it's late, and I'd like to spend a few moments alone with Drew. So on the way home, we park at a now empty tourist area and sit and chat a bit. He's leaving the next day on a late flight because he has early call on Saturday morning.
When will I see you?
He asks. Ugh, finals start the week after next, so I'm getting down to the grind.
What are your Christmas plans? Are you coming back here?
Yeah, but I'm driving since I get a month off. He takes my hand and rubs a circle over my knuckles with his thumb.
Why don't you spend some time with me before and after?
I think about his proposition, and it sounds enticing. I could stay with him for several days after I'm done with exams, then go home. And after the holidays, I could go to Drew's and return to school the Sunday before classes. Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. Are you coming home at all for Christmas?
Yeah, from the 23rd to the 28th.
Oh, cool. Then I could come back to your place for New Year's, maybe?
You'd want to?
He seems eager, but then I just realized I've invited myself to his place for a date. Is that too forward?
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have other plans.
Kate, I only want plans with you. In fact, if we haven't said this, I want us to be exclusive. I mean, I pretty much took it for granted since we're sleeping together, and I knew you weren't the type to sleep around.
No, not the sleeping around type. So, yeah, I'd like exclusivity. In fact, I demand it. I say with false bravado.
So do I.
His deep voice sends shivers racing down my spine. A thought strikes me. Hey, does this mean we're going steady? That corner of his mouth lifts and he says,
Not only steady, but strong.
He leans over and our lips meet.
Since we're going steady, could I interest you in some car sex?
Giggling,
I answer, I don't know. The closest I've come to it is with you. Even though it's dark, the light in the parking lot reflects the sparkle in his blue irises, and he says,
since you're wearing a skirt, I thought you planned it.
Well, if your dad doesn't mind, since it's his car. A giggle slips out.
We won't tell him.
He helps me clamber over the center console until I straddle his lap. It's a good thing the seats recline. My skirt gets bunched up around my waist, and we must be starved for each other because things progress at a rapid pace. It's all so incredible, and the only thing I notice afterward is that it really is true. The windows get steamed up during car sex. When I mention this to Drew, he says dryly,
I'm glad you were so taken with my skills, that's all you observed.
After, I remind him, not during.
Thanks for clarifying.
He slides out, and I ask him if he has any tissues. Fumbling in the console, he offers me a handful. When I move to slide to my seat, he stops me with his hands.
Stay. I'm not quite ready for you to leave here yet.
His hands hold my thighs, and his pants are unbuttoned and pulled down to his knees. Damn, the man is sexy. I want to spend the night with you, I say.
No more than I want you to. This coming home sucks.
We both chuckle.
You look hot as hell sitting on my lap like this.
His half-lidded expression has me thinking the same of him. He grabs the tissues I hold in my hand and proceeds to wipe me. But instead of cleaning me up, it turns us both on. I watch in fascination as his dick springs to life. Not bothering to ask, I take it in my hand, lift my hips, and impale myself on it. His hands move from my thighs to my hips, and his fingers sink into my flesh as he lifts me up and down, helping me, guiding me. My hands settle on his shoulders, and I rest my forehead on his for a second until he says,
kiss me, Kate.
This is one of those moments when you think back and remember how silly it all is. But here we are, in a car for Pete's sake, having some of the hottest sex. But that's not all it is. It's the way he stares, the way he breathes my name, the way his hands hold me. And it's what's happening to my heart. Drew McKnight is tangling himself in it until I don't know which part of it is him or which part is me. And what I thought would scare me doesn't. Not one single bit. I want to fall with this man, and I want to fall hard. But I think I already have. The question is, how does Drew feel? I don't have to wait to find out, because we both climax shortly after, and as we sit in the aftermath, he lightly kisses me and says against my lips,
Caitlin Forbes, I love everything there is about you. I never thought there'd be someone like you. I'm not a believer in there only being one person for each of us, but I know damn well it's hard to find that perfect match. You are my perfect match. Please tell me I'm not alone in the way I feel.
I brush his hair off his forehead and say, you're not alone, Drew. I love you too. Chapter 15, Present. My chest constricts as I watch Andy drive away. I berate myself for not being able to speak and say something to keep him from walking away. It all feels too familiar, and I have to force myself inside my building. The elevator closes in on me, making it feel claustrophobic. The pain of the day comes back, and I wonder if I can ever get past it. I miss the carefree girl I used to be, the one that could laugh and look forward to a bright future. Now the gloominess of winter pulls me into darkening clouds. Life has lost its luster, and I think I might have lost the one shot I had at happiness. When the doors open, I shoot out like a light. I wonder how I can blur the lines between the past and the future. Guilt is what holds me back. Yet the promise of love is what pushes me forward. I strip out of the dress and jewelry. I let my hair tumble down onto my shoulders.
Then I step into a cleansing shower. The guilt of walking out of the hospital room as requested, and then of running out and leaving things, presses on my chest like a 50-pound weight. I don't know how to forgive myself. I don't know how to move on. As water sloshes over me, I make a decision. After dressing in comfy PJs, I pick up my phone and begin to type. I hesitate for a second and read over my words before I hit send. Me. I'm sorry. I stare at the wall a long time, waiting for a response, and get nothing before sleep claims me. Sunday rolls in with snow flurries. I get laundry done and begin work on the policies and procedures manual I'm writing for Ted's accounting department because I'm just that lame. I chat with Mandy and Jenna for only a few minutes each, really not up for conversation. Mom calls and complains about Shannon. Apparently she missed curfew. My brother has a girlfriend that my mother describes as the princess of doom in all her black, from clothes to lipstick to nail polish and hair. She's out of sorts, and Dad now thinks he has some rare disease she can't pronounce because he has 5 of the 7 symptoms, which are the same symptoms you get with the common cold, according to her. I finally get her off the phone and take stock of my life. I'm alone, with no dating prospects, because I'm not going to France with Ted no matter how rich he is. I never get butterflies when I'm with him. I've had butterflies before, and I can't settle for less than that. When Monday arrives, the snow has fallen in thick clumps, accumulating on the roads and sidewalks. I walk to my office because there's a delayed opening for Ted's office. Cabin fever won't allow me to stay in. I need to get out before the walls press in on me any further. Once I get to the office, it feels like I haven't seen my desk in ages. Because the snow is coming down hard, the place is pretty vacant, even as late as 9, when usually the office is bustling by this hour.
Kate.
I glance up and see Daniel in my doorway. Do you have a minute? Sure. I'm grateful from the diversion of my inner thoughts. When he sits, I say, what's up? As I clasp my hands on top of my desk.
That night we all went out, he begins. I was trying to ask you out.
Oh boy, this is gonna get weird.
Because I wanted to talk to you about Mandy.
I inwardly sigh, both relieved and mortified. I'd assumed he was into me.
I've liked her forever, only she sees us as just friends.
Interesting. What about what happened that same night between you two? I'm not sure I should let him know I know what happened between them. Then again, he's here for advice. He has to know girls talk.
What about it? She was wasted and tried to pull my clothes off.
He admits freely. I relax because he's okay talking about it.
When I wouldn't comply with her grabby hands, she took off hers.
His face reddens, and he actually blushes. It's sort of cute.
I tried to fend her off because I didn't want her to regret anything that happened between us the next day. She persisted until she finally passed out face first on her bed.
Nothing happened that night? Mandy has no idea, and she does regret what she thinks happened. He shakes his head.
I slept in her bed, only because you hear about drunken people choking and dying on their vomit. I didn't want to leave or sleep on the couch knowing I could have saved her in case something like that happened. When I woke up, she was already up and talking on the phone to someone.
That someone was probably me.
She practically shooed me out of her apartment, and ever since, she's done her best to offer up friends and relatives she wants to set me up with.
His eyes are earnest, and I can tell he's at a loss.
What should I do?
I love Mandy, but she's lying to herself about her feelings for Daniel. She's totally into him, but for some reason won't admit it. Give her a dose of her own medicine, I say with a shrug. We talk for a little while longer before the office starts to come alive. Mandy makes her way into my office when she stops short. Daniel, she says, and the shock is evident in her voice. I hope she doesn't think something is going on between us. He turns in her direction before he stands.
Thanks, Kate,
he says over his shoulder. To her, he says,
Morning, Mandy. I was just telling Kate that I plan on taking your advice. I'm gonna ask Tammy out. You know, the Tammy downstairs. She's a receptionist for the law offices.
Mandy nods, and Daniel walks out after his declaration. I watch her pale. I can't believe he's going to ask her out. She's cute and busty, but she's not you. I finish for her. She nods before shaking her head. No, that's not it. It's a good thing he's moving on. Clearly, she isn't ready for a reality check. I decide to clear her mind about one thing. He came in to talk about how weird you're acting. He says that nothing happened between the two of you that night. Her eyes snap to attention. We didn't have sex? Nope. He says you were all over him, though, until you passed out. I was naked, she says absently. He says that was all you, and he blushed while recalling it. I think you're crazy for not going out with him. Just when I think I've gotten through to her, she asks, And what about you and that gorgeous doctor? I chew on her words all morning long. Hadn't my words been advice I should take for myself? I glance at my phone. Andy hasn't texted me back. If he were any other guy, I would let it go and consider it a loss. But he isn't just another guy. We have history. History I'm not ready to give up on, I realize. I pick up my phone and try again. Me. I am sorry. I wonder if you would be up for a blind date. I stare at my phone and wait for a reply. After a couple of minutes, I set my phone down. He's probably working and not ignoring it, I think, giving myself an internal pep talk. Just as I start to type again, my phone rings. I'm so hopeful it's Andy, I don't bother to wait until the caller's name pops up before I grab it and place it to my ear. Hello?
Sorry, huh?
Despite his gruff tone, his voice is the oxygen I need to breathe. I say, truly.
So sorry, you want to send me on a date with someone else?
I hear people talking in the background. He must be at work. I clamp a hand over my eyes. I guess what I thought were clever words come off as an epic fail. No, no one else. That wasn't what I meant.
But
I cut him off. Me. I want you to be blind to how stupid I've been and give me a chance to take you out to dinner.
Oh.
He says, taken aback.
That kind of blind date.
Yes, it seems I'm not the wordsmith I thought I could be. There is a lingering pause that crosses into heavy awkwardness.
Kate,
he begins, and it sounds like regret. No one likes rejection, least of all me. We can go as friends, I blurt. Just let me make it up to you.
Friends?
His one-word question doesn't give me enough to read whether he thinks it's a good or bad thing. Yeah. I mean, even though things were super fast with us, I think on some level we connected as friends initially. Isn't that the basis of a good relationship? Another pause. I think I've blown my shot when he finally speaks.
When would this blind date occur?
I'm ready with an answer. Whenever you're available. This time, the silence between us isn't so unbearable. He's hopefully checking his schedule and not thinking of a way to blow me off.
I'll work late tonight. Then I start morning rotations tomorrow. Wednesday night would work because I don't have office appointments until the afternoon on Thursday.
That works. I don't get off until 6, so I could be in Baltimore by 8. I would have to go home to shower and change first.
You work on Thursday. Why don't I come to you?
I'm feeling more confident, so I let the short laugh, which sounds halfway like a giggle, come out. Now that's not how dates work. I'm supposed to pick you up. He doesn't join in my laughter.
There's nothing typical about you and me, Kate.
His serious voice kills the smile from my face.
Just tell me where to meet you.
Why do I have the feeling that what I hope will be a rekindling will ultimately turn out to be a goodbye? Because shouldn't he be asking to pick me up? I glance at the clock on my computer. Give me until noon to make a reservation, and then I'll text you the location.
Sounds good. I have to go. Duty calls.
Sure, I say weakly. And he hangs up. I want to call Jenna, but I know what she'll say. She's said it 1,000 times already, and it might be too late for everything. At least I'll get the chance to ask him about the woman he was kissing at the hospital and the date with Desiree. We hadn't talked about commitment, so do I really have a reason to be mad? Especially when I've been the hot and cold one. That's probably why he agreed to meet me. He wants to tell me he's seeing other people, and I should too. I made a reservation anyway at McCormick and Schmick's. It covers the gamut from steaks to seafood, so I text Andy the place and a time of 6:30. I don't end up going to Ted's office that day. Instead, I go there bright and early the next day where Jeff is waiting for me.
Traitor.
He spits. I stop in my tracks. What did I do?
I saw the pictures of you two. You went out with him after all my warnings.
I've heard Ted's side of things. It's time I hear Jeff's. Is your hatred for him over a woman? He pauses.
He told you?
Not much. He just said it always comes down to a woman, and she was more interested in him. He huffs.
Yes, there was a woman, but that's not the whole story.
It never is. I let out a heavy sigh. Look, I like you, Jeff, but your warnings were for naught. Ted was a perfect gentleman the entire time we were out. He didn't do or try anything. You have nothing to worry about. We're just friends.
He's never just friends. And he wiggles his fingers. With a woman.
He mutters before heading to his desk. I don't want to fight. So I don't argue. I sit and get to work. Ted drops by.
Kate, have you thought about France?
I glance around, worried about the thin walls. I'm not sure it's a good idea. He takes it well.
Fair enough. I'll leave you to it.
The calm way he walks away is unnerving, but I let it go. By Wednesday, a case of the anxieties hits. I work out of my office and slip out early, only taking half a lunch break. I head home to freshen up and change into a snug scoop-neck red sweater, slim black pants, and date heels, or what Jenna refers to as fuck-me heels. I take a cab the few blocks to the restaurant because there's no way I could have walked and survived. The weather is still gloomy, and ice patches still litter the sidewalks. The shoes I wear aren't exactly made for walking. A valet opens my cab door and helps me out. That's what you get when dinner will run in the low hundreds, if not more. Andy has already arrived, and the hostess escorts me to our table. He's up and helping me out of my coat. His hands are warm, and they burn through the fabric of my sweater with his accidental touches. I shiver and miss his touch when it's gone.
Beautiful as always,
he says with my back to him. I turn to face him because I hope our connection is still there. Only he's turned to hang my coat on the hook outside our booth. I slide in and wait for him to sit. By the time he does, the waiter is there rattling off the daily specials before excusing himself to give us time to make our selections. Andy hides behind his menu. I pick mine up and decide what to order.
What are you having?
He asks, still masked by the menu. I think I'm gonna go with the chef's choice of salmon. It's stuffed and served over vegetables and sounds absolutely yummy. You? However, I already know what he'll decide. He's going for the steak, which is why I chose this restaurant. They specialize in fish and steak.
I think I'll have the bone-in ribeye.
I smile to myself because I probably could have ordered for him. At least that much of him hasn't changed.
You're smiling.
It's nothing. I just knew what you'd order. His mouth curls slightly, and the knot in my stomach eases.
Am I that predictable?
Actually, no. I would have never predicted that he'd take me on the balcony of a masquerade ball. The waiter arrives, and we order. When he leaves, The uncomfortable silence presses between us. Figuring the mood can't get worse, I decide to get one question answered. I came by the hospital the other day. I pause. The day after the ball, I clarify. His piercing blue eyes finally focus on me, and I get the feeling he's been avoiding the contact.
You did? You didn't stop and say hi?
His voice is guarded, and the distance that's grown between us becomes palpable. Actually, you were pretty busy. Some might say you were even a bit tongue-tied. His eyes narrow.
You saw me.
I nod, and finally just blurted out. You had some blonde wrapped all around you. I didn't want to interrupt. His eyes widened.
The noise.
He says more to himself.
That was you. I heard someone walking away. I assumed someone on staff caught us.
Guilty. I say, a little wanly, raising a hand like a child in preschool. Imagine my surprise, especially after you. On the balcony.
Kate?
No. I shake my head. I should have known after you walked away and said nothing that night. You were just acting in the spirit of the party, and it didn't mean anything to you.
That's not it.
He growls. I watch his jaw set. He's a little fierce when he's determined about something.
I was angry that night, seeing you there, dancing with guys, their hands all over you.
That is an exaggeration, but I keep quiet.
When I hoped you felt what's between us, you ran out to the balcony. When I followed you out there, I had no idea what I planned to do or say. Then you let me touch you. Your wine?
A red-faced waiter says, holding a bottle of Merlot. Andy glances up as the flushed waiter pours him some and lets him taste before he leaves the bottle with us. Andy continues as if the interruption hasn't happened.
I took what we both wanted, what you eagerly let me have, and I won't apologize for it.
I can't blame him. I don't expect you to.
But what you saw at the hospital wasn't what you thought. Nurses have hit on me since day one, but that's probably because I'm new and single. The one you saw is a little more aggressive than most. She won't take no for an answer.
Sexual harassment, I say, but it's more of a joke.
Exactly. I had to report her because this isn't the first time she wouldn't back off.
I sit back, because you don't often hear men taking a stand on a willing woman throwing themselves at them. Is she pretty? He pauses mid-sip.
Does it matter? I'm not interested. Is that the reason you went out with Ted Kaine?
I could have lied. Instead, I opt for the truth. It wasn't to spite you. He asked, and I assumed you'd moved on. He's quick with a retort.
And you know what they say. To assume is to make an ass out of you and me.
Fine, I say, defeated. I could have talked to you about it. I hate how our conversation has taken a turn for the worse. But that doesn't explain why you went with Desiree to the White House press dinner.
And that's what you think?
That's what she said when she saw me out with Ted and took the picture to share with the world, but especially you.
Again, you assume the worst, when in actuality she was there but not with me. I went with my college buddy. You remember the two guys that were with me that night I took you home? I know them from undergrad. When I moved in the area, I called them up, knowing they lived here. Well, one of them is a congressman. His date bailed on him at the last minute, and he talked me into going with him.
Insert foot. I have gotten everything wrong. How did it go? Or is that scowl for me? I ask tentatively. He sighs.
Both, actually. I feel like all this misunderstanding could have easily been explained if you just trusted me.
I do. He shakes his head.
You don't. And maybe that's partly my fault for how I left things on the balcony.
He at least looks a bit shamefaced. We were silent for a moment. And the other reason for your scowl? Dinner arrives in grand fashion. The orchestrated way the waiters show up with the meal and place it before us interrupts his answer. Steam billows from the plates, as I smile at the waiter before he leaves. Andy doesn't immediately dig into his food. We are warned it's piping hot.
The other reason for my scowl is my buddy is an equal opportunist when it comes to dating, and he doesn't hide it, especially now. So I spent the night getting congratulations regarding the upholding of the 14th Amendment that passed several months ago.
He pauses and gauges my reaction. I smile and don't show the skip of my heartbeat. He continues.
There were reporters, and I spent the whole night dodging flashing cameras. And not because I don't agree with the ruling, but because I don't want to have to explain my sexual orientation to my colleagues.
I manage a laugh, and finally he laughs too. We eat, and our conversation lightens. He tells me stories of his friend's antics. Dinner turns out okay. I pass on dessert because I'm stuffed. I have to swat his hand away when the check arrives, but he finally lets me pay. After all, I am the one who invited him on the date.
I know you have to work tomorrow, but can I take you somewhere?
I don't expect it. Despite the tension loosening, we haven't exactly patched things up. We've avoided all talk of our relationship during the rest of the meal. Sure. Can you tell me where? When the valet pulls his car up to the curb, he just grins while walking to the driver's side. He does like his surprises. When he pulls up on Constitution Avenue, where the lights are strung up between lamps, it doesn't dawn on me where he's taken me until we walk to the ticket booth. A lone figure waits, and Andy checks his watch.
I have a reservation.
Yes, Drew? Andy nods. Follow me. We walk through the gate, and I can't believe my eyes. They begin to mist, overcome with emotions. He stops at a bench and takes my gloved hands.
I know this is hard for you.
He glances up to the sky before meeting my gaze. I wipe at the corners of my eyes.
I want this to work, and ignoring the past isn't working. We have to confront it.
I'm not sure I can. My voice breaks, but he's right. We can't ignore it. There's no one here, I say.
Just because we need this doesn't mean you have to do it with an audience. I've booked this time only for us, you and me.
In every other circumstance, this would be a swoon-worthy moment, a romantic gesture that can be told to future grandchildren. Instead, I try my best to keep the tears at bay. We put on our shoes that wait for us because he's thought of everything. I realize he pre-planned this, as he holds out his hand to me.
It's time to take the first step. Will you take it with me?
I stare at the rink and all it represents, and I know if I can't trust him and walk onto the ice, it will never work between us. I gaze into his willing eyes and at his open hand. Chapter 16, Past. Christmas break. Drew. It's more than difficult to keep my mind on studying, but I have to. I'm almost done with finals, and I need to pull this off. I'm counting on a 4.0 this semester, so my head needs to be in the game. Drew acts like my coach, texting me encouraging messages every few hours. I wish he'd send me naked pictures instead. Not really. I'd never get anything accomplished if he did. My last exam is this Friday afternoon, and then I'm headed to Indy to stay with him for 6 days until we fly home. We're on the same flight, which will be nice. He can only stay in Charleston 3 days, but I'll be there for a week. I'll return to Indy and spend another week with him before I have to go back to Purdue. This will be the most time we've ever spent with each other, and even though the excitement is killing me, it also has me biting my nails. This could be one of those make-it-or-break-it things. All of our weekends together have always been like vacations, but this will be more of the real thing. Shoving those thoughts away, I refocus on my accounting. This exam is supposed to be a ballbuster, so I pour another cup of coffee and hit the books. Jenna is in the library, so the apartment is as quiet as a church on Monday. I stay at it until 2 a.m.,
when I hear the lock turn. You still up?
Yeah,
I say, stretching and rubbing my eyes. I'm just about to call it a night. I had to do the same when my lid started slamming shut. My 5-hour energy wore off long ago. Jenna claims, I'm beat. Thank God my exam isn't until 10:30. Yeah, mine's not until noon. That'll give me a couple of review hours. And then finance on Friday, and voila. I can't wait to be done. You can't wait to get into Drew's bed. Well, there is that. But I'm so overstudying. I want a break. There is truth in that, she says. You're driving home, right? Oh, yeah. Didn't want to be that long without a car. I'm staying the entire 3 weeks, unlike someone I know. She clears her throat. I wanted to talk to you about that. I'm a little freaked, if you want the truth. This will be the first time we've been together like this. You'll be fine. Drew is Drew, you know? He's easy. He's not a diva man, and you're not a diva either. You two were made for each other. God, Jenna, I hope so. I've never seen you like this before, Kate. How long have we known each other? Since kindergarten? Trust me, I know so. But just remember, I don't care that you have a sister. I'm going to be your maid of honor in your wedding. I pick up a pillow from the couch and toss it at her. You're a nut. No, I'm about to fall asleep on my feet, so I'm off to bed. Good night. Night. It doesn't surprise me to see Drew waiting on the porch of his apartment as I pull in and park. His ear-to-ear smile only heightens my excitement at being here. He's wearing my favorite faded jeans and the top to one of his scrubs. He must have only gotten home a little while ago. Hey, you! I call out as I climb out of my car.
Hey, back. One more semester down, huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll second that, because you're here, and I can finally get some cake time.
I'm on the porch by now, and he wastes no time in reaching for me.
I have missed the hell out of you, sweet thing.
Sweet thing?
Sweeter than honey, and that's for damn sure. Now shut up and kiss me.
You sure can't hide the southern boy in him. When I wrap my arms around him, he stands up and lifts me off the ground. I love it when he does this, so I giggle, but he inhales it with his mouth. He walks backward through his door and takes me straight into his kitchen. His hands wrap around my thighs, and I find myself sitting on the countertop. Then I spy what's next to me chilling in an ice bucket, and I let out a muffled whoop against his lips that are still nibbling on mine. He reaches behind him and pulls open the refrigerator, our lips still locked, and grabs a bowl of ruby red strawberries. Mmm, I mumble.
Not done yet.
When he sets the can of whipped cream on the counter, I know we're gonna have some serious fun tonight. He unbuttons my sweater and I shrug it off. Next comes my bra. I'm sitting on his counter, naked to the waist, as he pops the champagne cork and pours. Then he hands me a glass with a heated gaze and says,
Congratulations on one more down.
We clink our glasses and sip. He takes his and pours a bit down my chest, stopping to lick it up as it makes a trail from my neck to my navel. I shiver as goosebumps poke out all over me. The points of my nipples practically scream to be licked or sucked, but he doesn't either. Instead, he takes the can of whipped cream and coats them with it. It's cold and gives me chills, but when he sucks and licks it off, I whimper with need. After the whipped cream is gone, he steps back and offers me a strawberry to go with my champagne. Then he tilts my head back and feeds me one of the luscious berries, covered in the sweet white cream. I close my eyes as I chew because it's that tasty.
They complement each other, you know.
I'm not sure if he's referring to his mouth, the whipped cream, and my nipples, or the champagne and strawberries. My hand trembles as I raise my glass to sip the champagne. They sure do. His blue eyes sparkle, and I can tell he knows he's a tease, so I decide to run with it. Is this our dinner? I ask.
This?
He sweeps his hand over the strawberries and champagne. Yeah.
Oh no, this is just our appetizer. The next course is in there.
And he points to his bedroom.
How exciting. I cross my legs. He sees it and uncrosses them and moves in between them.
What's the matter, Kate? Something bothering you?
His voice is deep and gruff. No, not at all. I squeak. His knuckles brush the seam of my jeans, and I squirm against them.
Is this what you want, Kate?
Yes. This time, my voice is rough with urgency.
But I thought you were hungry.
My fingers latch onto the collar of his scrubs, and I jerk him closer to me. I am starving. For you?
Well, I'm starving for you, too. What a coincidence. But first, I have a surprise.
Surprise? What kind of surprise? I want sex, not a surprise. Louise is dying here, not to mention the state of my panties is getting to the point where they'll have to be wrung out soon. He slides me off the counter, and I practically dry hump him.
Kate, is there something you want from me?
You're kidding, right? He only offers me one of his through-the-roof, deep, sexy chuckles, which only adds to my sexual frustration. Louise quivers.
Give me your hand.
Oh, no. Please, to God, don't tell me he wants a hand job. I'm all for that on some occasions, but right now, I just want a good old-fashioned fuck.
Kate.
I place my hand in his, and he escorts me to his room, where to my utter surprise, I find it lit in at least a dozen candles. On the nightstand is a vase holding an unbelievable flower arrangement containing roses, lilies, calla lilies, white carnations, orchids, and tulips. There are also two trays on his bed with covered dishes on them.
I took the liberty of having dinner ready when you arrived. But there's a catch.
A catch?
We eat naked.
Naked?
Naked, as in no clothing.
Oh my goodness. The left corner of his mouth curves as he unbuttons my jeans. The zipper follows, and when he jerks them off my hips and puts his fingers inside the elastic of my thong, he grins.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. I swallow as I watch him strip. I will never tire of seeing his muscles ripple when he moves. It's a damned movie to me.
Kate? Kate?
Yeah?
Sit. I want you to taste something.
Your cock?
What?
He barks out a laugh that shakes the bed I just sat on.